On the subject of what's in the head, hello, Nick.
Hi, Chris.
Where are you calling from?
Boston, Massachusetts, in the US.
Ah, the Cambridge, but on the other side of the Atlantic.
That's right.
Possibly.
That's right.
What can we do for you?
Last week you were talking about people who have had half of their brain removed. And I've also read that the brain has a very gelatin-like consistency. So I'm wondering what happens to the extra space in there. Seems like if they were to stop short or shake their head pretty hard, the stuff would sort of ooze all over the place.
Yeah, you're right. In fact, if you look at what brain tissue is like, it is very soft and floppy. It's almost like blancmange, the kind of consistency of fresh brain tissue. And you're right that when someone actually has to have a portion of their brain removed, it would leave a very big space because the volume of an adult human brain is about 1.3 litres, 1,300 centimetres cubed. So it's quite big. And if you removed half of that from your head, then you'd obviously have a space which is about 700 mils of empty space. Now, people did originally worry that there might be a problem with what to do with this empty space inside the head of someone who's had half the brain removed. And let's just revise why people might have that done. If you have got some kind of problem, for instance, intractable epilepsy, for which this was performed quite often in the past, relatively speaking, especially in young children, for which the recovery actually is really good. They get back a pretty normal life, actually, after having this done. It sounds pretty draconian, but it works very well. What you then end up with is this space in the head, and you've got to fill it with something. Well, people did worry that this would be a problem, but what they discovered in the long term is that, in fact, it fills up with cerebrospinal fluid, the same stuff that bathes the brain and spinal cord anyway, and there doesn't seem to be a major problem. The brain is quite well supported inside the head, and although it is floating in this bath of CSF, cerebrospinal fluid, actually there are various supporting structures which help to hold the brain in one position. And going from front to back, so if you imagine if you had your fingers in the middle of your forehead and you ran your fingers backwards vertically over the top of your head towards the middle of the back of your head, there is a piece of tissue called the fulcus cerebri, which inside your skull follows a sort of similar course to that. And that holds your brain in and stops it going from side to side. And there at the back of the head is also a structure called the tentorium cerebelli, which is a horizontal piece of tissue which holds the brain vertically. And there's also the main meninges, which go around the brain, and they provide a degree of support as well. So it turns out that there's not a major problem because the kind of movements you would have to make your brain go from side to side would be so severe that you'd probably be damaging yourself quite seriously anyway. So actually, as it turns out, it hasn't really become a major problem for people who have had these hemispherectomies. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, it does. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for joining us on The Naked Scientist.